It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday, August 11th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. This week, a massive game developers conference kicks off in the German city of Cologne, and one of the main events, surprise, is based on the virtual reality company Oculus VR that was recently bought by Facebook. Oculus has been everywhere, and not just in the gaming world. There is also news that Facebook wants Hollywood to start creating content for the virtual reality headsets Oculus makes. It's an interesting idea that has its fair share of skeptics. Matt Zoller-Seitz is one. He's the TV critic for New York Magazine and Vulture.com. Matt, thanks for chatting with us.
Thank you for having me.
What would a virtual reality movie actually look like?
When we say virtual reality movie, I feel like we might as well be saying modern dance mural. I mean, I feel like the two things are not necessarily compatible, and that's part of the problem. Whatever virtual reality is going to be used for, I don't think it's going to feel like a movie.
I was going to ask how you imagine this kind of thing enhancing narrative. I mean, can you picture that happening, or will it be too gimmicky?
I can't. I honestly can't see how this can enhance narrative as we know it. What I can see is we're creating these sort of alternate universes, these fantasy universes like the holodeck in Star Trek The Next Generation.
Sure.
Where it's not so much that the point is to go into a story and experience the story in a more intense and immersive way, but rather to visit a place.
If you could pick a movie that you would like to experience firsthand, the set or the world virtually, what would you pick?
I think I would like to experience the world of Boardwalk Empire, the HBO show.
Okay.
Old New York, old New Jersey, and the six-floor walk-ups and the coal-burning stoves and things like that. In fact, that's the main reason why I watched Boardwalk Empire for the first three seasons, even though a lot of the time I didn't even like it.
So basically what you're saying here is that narrative, it has all this giant spectrum of possibility, but in terms of the way that we actually want to experience it, we still want to experience it passively.
I think the point of a story is you surrender to it. And the point of virtual reality or a video game, for that matter, is you can do whatever you want. You can go wherever you want, or at least you feel like you can go wherever you want. I just think it's apples and oranges.
Matt Zoller-Seitz is the TV critic for New York Magazine and also Vulture.com. Matt, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
A reminder, you can find that conversation and lots more if you install the Marketplace app for your phone or tablet. There's stuff on there from all of the Marketplace shows. You can find it in Apple's App Store and on Google Play. The European Parliament's home is Brussels, and right now Brussels is also home to lots of lobbyists from the American tech industry. Why? Well, they've descended on Brussels to push against strict new online privacy legislation being considered by the European Parliament. Nancy Marshall-Genzer brings us this report.
Walk down the street near Parliament in Brussels and you'll see office blocks that are home to lobbyists representing the likes of Facebook, Google, and other tech companies. They're part of an explosion of tech lobbying in the European capital this year.
It's gotten a bit out of hand, very, very emotional.
Jean-Marc Leclerc is director of digital policy for a trade group called Digital Europe. Among its members, Apple and Microsoft.
Thousands of amendments, night votes, it really went crazy.
Why was it so crazy? The EU is considering an online privacy bill that would give consumers the right to have personal data erased, and there would also be new limits on online profiling. The tech lobby says the legislation would hurt commerce and innovation on the web, and would also create mandatory data reporting requirements that would be a burden for businesses. But all this tech lobbying leaves privacy advocates in Brussels feeling outgunned.
I think it's the second biggest center of lobbying in the world outside Washington, D.C.
Joe McNamee is executive director of the European Digital Rights Group. He says members of the European Parliament don't quite know what to make of the U.S. tech lobby muscle.
But it was quite new in the European context. And policymakers in the European Parliament were taken by surprise.
But some members of Parliament say they understand that U.S. tech companies have to lobby here because they have a lot at stake.
Well, I think it's inevitable that business will lobby.
That's Claude Moraes, a member of the European Parliament representing London. He says, bring it on. We can handle it. but he does draw a line. Moraes says some of the 4,000 amendments to the privacy legislation were taken word for word from lobbyists.
And there was certainly accusations of amendments being cut and pasted, and I think that's where the line is crossed.
Moraes can expect even more lobbying this fall when members of the European Parliament return from their summer break. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Before we go, tech PSA for you. This month, the Federal Communications Commission has adopted new rules that require U.S. carriers to allow people to text 911 in emergencies. David Firth is Deputy Bureau Chief for the FCC's Public Safety and Homeland Security Bureau. He says the emergency calling system has been in need of an update.
The 911 system is still a relatively old system based on kind of 1970s and 1980s technology, and that's changing, but it hadn't really been keeping up with the progress that we see in communications technology in our everyday lives, in the smartphones we use and the applications that they support.
Firth says this would help over 40 million people in the U.S. who have hearing or speech impairments. Another FCC concern is with people who might be in a situation where texting is actually safer than calling. Apps and wireless carriers are expected to be ready to offer these services by the end of this year. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.